Noon Hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome in. Time to make the donuts. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Monday, everybody. Let's get to it. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Scotty?
I am great.
What do you know?
Not much. Just a general, I don't know much about anything, but.
What do you know? What do you say?
We'll
fake it.
Lloyd, how about you? What do you know?
Is that what kids are saying now?
Yeah, what do you know?
I have no idea. One of my kids' friend goes, "What's good?" I'm like,
said that to you.
I'm like, I don't know, everything. I don't know. What do you want me to say? What's good? I'm like, I don't know. I'm good.
The rib tips are excellent. Would you like some rib tips?
The percentage I got on my home interest rate.
I don't know, man.
The fact that I was in the housing market before it got crazy. Those are good things.
I'm locked in at 2.9%.
What do you want to know from me? A lot of good things.
What's good, man? I'm like, geez, man, talk to me normal. But no, good weekend. You had a good weekend?
It's boring. I took in enough women's basketball to last me for a good 10, 20 years. But it was fun. I thought it was good, man. It was some good basketball. National championship play game last night.
We're all square on the Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah, and I figured, but
I kind of thought the one I will respect women's basketball. They're not into the theatrics. They're not into going in and altering games, because if so, Caitlin Clark would have a national championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one thing women's sports has over men. They're not going to get, they're not going to persuade their refs.
Not that far. I saw the crybabies on Twitter. It's happening. I was like, oh, come on, man. Just let women's sports be women's sports. Everybody's getting weird calls, and it all felt like it was a mess at times.
By the way, that was the right call.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the moving screen.
Yeah, it was a screen. Yeah. It was a moving screen. There was no question that it was.
She was sliding.
Yeah, it was an illegal body usage for sure. But everybody's saying, well, you just don't call it in that moment. And it's like, well, yeah, there's some to that. But if it's that obvious, and you go back and watch the slow-mo, and it's like, wow, that was really obvious.
Yeah. No, that was a great call. Great call.
Takes guts to call it.
Yep. National championship game coming up tonight. Ken Pomeroy will join us coming up at 1:05 to preview that. Stuart Mandel will join us in the 2 o'clock hour. One of the better college football writers to kind of break down this 80 team super conference that could be on the horizon in college athletics. So we got a lot on the plate, man. We got a lot to break down, and we are mercifully coming to the end of the Jazz season. Looked a little bit better last night.
Oh man,
I don't know. Like, they didn't lose as badly as we've come to expect.
Yeah,
is that where we're at right now? Taking little victories from.
Oh, I've got thoughts on that stuff, man. I got thoughts on that stuff. I don't know where you want to start. I mean, this is one of those days where we could go women's championship or men's championship tonight or Jazz. I mean, there's just so much going on. But the Utah Jazz, they are as bad as build.
Yeah. Well, let's get to it. Starting lineup, Hans and Scotty. I think we can safely say this is the first time we're going to start the show with women's basketball. Let's kick it off.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
Line cup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It is perfection for South Carolina. 38 games, 38 wins, and their third national championship. South Carolina 87, Iowa 75. 2024 is absolutely perfect for Dawn Staley and South Carolina. They are the women's basketball national champions.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. And we appreciate you.
There's a lot to be proud of, but, you know, there's going to be tears. It is sad that this is all over, and this is the last time I'm going to put on an Iowa jersey. So I think just reflecting back and soaking in everything that I was able to do, because basically anybody other than me and Coach Bluter never thought this was possible.
Starting the lineup brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call Lee's right now for a $59 furnace tune-up, or visit them online at leesheatac.com. Hands, fun run. Women's basketball has been on the forefront thanks to Caitlin Clark. But all that being said, it was not Iowa winning a national championship. It was not Iowa going undefeated. Somehow, with all the Caitlin Clark fanfare and excitement that we all got caught up in. I mean, she's a fantastic player, was fun to watch, brought eyeballs to the TV set. It's hard to believe that a team that went undefeated on the season was flying under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But South Carolina was flying under the radar, underneath Angel Reese and LSU, certainly under Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And you saw Dawn Staley's South Carolina team just completely obliterate most of the competition they played this year.
Yeah.
An undefeated season. And in the end, pulling away and winning by double digits over, again, Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Yeah, they brutalized teams. They beat them up badly.
Yeah, just big and strong.
So I was just looking for overnights, some of the initial thoughts. I found this one. It's a projection, ESPN projection. It says when the numbers come out today, which I have not seen the official numbers, and I think you've got better access to some of those maybe than I do, or know where to find them. It says Sunday's National Basketball Championship game between Iowa and South Carolina on ABC is expected to be the most watched women's basketball game all time. It's saying that the number could get close to 20 million.
Woo.
Iowa-UConn got to 14.2. So you did mention it coming in. This is the first time we've started the show with women's basketball. Might be the last time. Who knows? But this is very deserving. With what Caitlin Clark did in her time and every record that she blew up, and she blew up the all-time NCAA tournament scoring for a woman, where she put up more points than any woman has done in the tournament, and she did it in grand fashion. She blew by it. I don't know if it ever gets broken, you know, because a lot of these scoring records had stood for since the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun to watch Caitlin Clark do what she does so well, but then it was really obvious that Iowa does not have a complete team. South Carolina has a complete team.
Yes.
And so I've talked a lot about Stolke. And Stolke needed to have a really big game, and she finished with 3 rebounds. She could not pull down a rebound. And I kept thinking to myself, unless we see Stolke and O'Grady and some of these forwards for Iowa that could get in there and get themselves a rebound over some of these bigs, there wasn't a chance. And Cardoso just cleared the floor.
Yeah.
Pulled down 17 rebounds, got 7 offensive rebounds. And the biggest difference in this game was the 33 extra chance points that were pulled in.
Yep.
And put up.
Yep. Just bigger and stronger, honestly. And I thought that was going to be a problem against LSU. But
I did too.
But it was South Carolina that was the one that really exposed Iowa.
I thought it would be LSU too.
Yeah.
And that's why going into that game, I was like, LSU's going to get Iowa.
Yeah.
But I figured at some point, one of these bigger, more physical teams would find a way, and they did it with Cardoso. South Carolina out-rebounded Iowa 51-29.
Oof.
51.
Yeah, but you're,
to 29.
And to your point, the 33, was it 33 or 32 second chance points?
Yeah, 30 something.
Anyway,
yeah.
Low 30s. That's just going to kill you. I mean, that's absolutely going to kill you. When a team can get those many second chance opportunities off of offensive rebounds, you just don't stand a chance. You're just done.
You know, one of the things that blew me away too, here, I've got this box score here in front of me. This is what blew me away. You look at right here, just bench points. And you add up all of the Iowa bench points, what do we have here?
Zero, 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 and zero.
Okay. And then our South Carolina bench points would come to
37.
Yeah. Well, 37 to nothing on bench points. You tell me you can't get a single point from a bench player on Iowa's squad?
Yeah.
Not one?
Yep. Like, I know Dawn Staley is a bit of a lightning rod with a lot of the things she says, but take away that and don't concern yourself with that right now. Just analyze a high-level women's basketball player who has transitioned into the coaching ranks and has built a team that is phenomenally great and then coaches the heck out of them from an X's and O's standpoint. And, I mean, she's got to be right there with one of the best coaches in all of women's basketball right now.
Has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's, what, four coaches that have had three championships or more? So she's up there.
I mean, you got
those.
Gino, you got Pat Summit, and then I don't know who the other one.
Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, there you go. And then, yeah, Dawn Staley's got to be right there.
I don't think there are many, so I do. And, you know, I thought that she handled postgame really well. You know, she actually grabbed the mic back to throw out those Caitlin Clark comments. And I think that needed to be stated because none of this happens without Caitlin Clark.
No, 100%. There's a Tiger Woods element to Caitlin Clark going on right now where you don't care who she's playing. You don't care where she's playing. It's just, I'm going to watch her play because it's just a phenomenal effort that she brings, and you see something really special every time she's on the court. And I thought it was interesting. Diana Taurasi, again, phenomenal basketball player, but
an all-timer. Yeah.
All-timer. She comes out with some really, like, not, I don't want to say critical comments, but it's like, you know, you're not getting away with that in the WNBA. You're in for a rude awakening. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of that's true, but I think it's funny how there's a lot of women's basketball players in the WNBA, both on the coaching and in the player standpoint, that are being uber critical of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And really coming at her and saying, oh, just you wait. You're not going to be anything special here. When in reality, you should be thanking Caitlin Clark because she's going to bring eyeballs to your sport. She's going to elevate your entire sport because people are going to care about it now. Mm-hmm. Way more than they did before.
Yeah, especially if she's hitting.
If
she's playing well, yeah.
You're like Tiger Woods made a lot of people a lot of money in the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods obviously made a ton of money, but he elevated everybody else's earning potential because everybody else got an extra piece of the pie when they would finish in a top five or a top three because the viewership went up, the sponsorships went up, all of that went up.
Most financially influential golfer in the history of golf.
100%.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark could absolutely do that to the WNBA. So instead of, if you're an old player and you're like, I can't believe all the eyeballs on her, blah, 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 blah. How about be like, hey, you know what? This is really good for us.
This could be really good for
us. This is good for us. Yeah. Now, you can say those things behind the scenes like, okay, we're going to knock her around a little bit and we're going to welcome her the hard way to the league.
Yeah.
But all it does is make you look like a villain and make you look like a disgruntled old, you know, old codger when you talk trash about her.
It does. You're 1,000%. You can't win that. You can't win that battle.
Yeah.
And like you said, I'd be saying it undercover nonstop. I'd be like, oh, you wait till she gets in here. We are going to beat her up. Every time she goes to take a shot, there's going to be an athletic hand in her face, and it's going to be really miserable. We're going to make her life miserable when she's on the court. But to say it out loud, and there were, it was interesting, some of the comments that came out from different women. There was one woman that holds the record for scoring, and she said it hasn't been beat because go check the size of the basketball and no three-point line. And, you know, just everybody that came at Caitlin Clark. And what I would say is this is all good. It's all good because it brings eyeballs. It brings attention. It brought social media a presence. And so it brings everybody to the screen and everybody to Caitlin Clark. For Caitlin, if I'm Caitlin Clark, all I'm doing is sitting there and enjoying all of the noise.
Yes.
Because all the noise, whether it's these old codgers that are being ornery and upset, and back in my day, we shot with a men's basketball. We didn't have a three-point line, and we killed it, you know. And you're like, wait a second. This girl is reconstructed the way everybody looks at women's basketball right now. It could absolutely end. She could go to the WNBA. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Jimmer level to the NBA. Maybe it's Caitlin to the WNBA. I don't know. Maybe her defense doesn't hold up and she gets torched and coaches can't put her on the court because she can't face guard. She can't deal with the speed of it or whatever. It might happen. But best case scenario is exactly what you're talking about. That's best case scenario. She goes in, averages 24 points a night, climbs it up to the 28-30 point range, grabs a bunch of MVP honors, grabs the audience's attention, and brings them to the WNBA. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is she doesn't pan out and nobody continues to watch or care about the WNBA.
Yeah.
Because those are just the facts.
100%.
And man, did she bring it to college, the women's college basketball circuit. Now, the great thing about this is, as Caitlin Clark brought all of our eyes to the TV sets, you had incredible talent around it. You had the Angel Reese's that you had this beautiful rivalry, and you've got the Cardosos and you've got South Carolina. Again, a beautiful rivalry because it was Iowa that knocked them out. They haven't lost since Iowa knocked them out of the quarterfinals last year. And so it was still a rivalry aspect with one of the best women's basketball players and one of the best up and coming and grabbing all the attention head coaches. And this is what we got. We got an incredible women's NCAA tournament that I don't know if we'll ever get it again.
No, because you're going to need characters like that again. You're going to need personalities. You're going to need storylines. And that's why it was so much better. I mean, that's why it was such a bigger storyline in terms of that than the men's, because, I mean, we got our dude from NC State, but other than that, we don't got a lot of great personalities. Edie is not a personality.
No.
That dude is.
No.
That dude's like Bull from Night Court.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really.
Nothing.
He's not bringing anybody to the yard.
We're coming for Harry T. Stone.
Yeah.
We're coming for Dan.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like we're not there for Bowl.
No.
We might even come for Ross. Ross was a better bailiff than Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. Roz. Yeah.
Roz.
Yep.
But this is the crazy thing about South Carolina. They lose Cardoso. That's it.
Yeah, they'll have another one.
They got Kitts back, Johnson, who was incredible off the bench. They got Hall back. They've got their whole team's pretty much coming back. Now, Cardoso was the difference. If you take Cardoso off that roster, maybe Iowa has a chance. Maybe. But maybe even not, because South Carolina was just that good. But they're minus their 6'7" forward, and that's it.
Yeah.
So South Carolina probably – and it's like, okay, well, without Cardoso – because Cardoso, I think, is a draw. Without Cardoso, how much South Carolina basketball are you watching next year?
None.
Without Caitlin Clark, how much Iowa basketball are you watching?
Zero.
So, like you said, you got to have the Mike Tyson that comes out of nowhere. And it's like, who's this amateur boxer that just went 18-0? Oh, his first professional fight? It lasted 24 seconds? Who's this guy that's running through the heavyweight division that's an undersized heavyweight? And the next thing you know, Mike Tyson is the biggest draw in the world of boxing, and probably had the most financial impact in the world of boxing of any boxer in the history.
Yep.
It's like, okay, well, Caitlin Clark just did it for women's basketball. Who's next?
You got to have somebody. You got to have somebody right there.
And if she doesn't work in the WNBA, then it's, you know, it's just business as usual.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's always a good day when we're hanging out in studio. It's always a better day when Dave's with us from America First Credit Union. How are you, sir?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, what's new?
Well, a lot of exciting stuff over the weekend.
Scotty doesn't like the question.
He doesn't. It's like, what?
What's good?
Oh, it's what good.
What's good?
Yeah, what's good?
Well, that's my greeting to my boy. What's good, my man?
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
America First Credit Union. We've had a blast with this partnership, AmericaFirst.com. Let's go back to the basics. What separates America First Credit Union from other financial institutions out there?
Well, Hans, as we just celebrated our 85th anniversary, it gives us time to reflect on our origins and our beginnings and the vision that our founding fathers had. We had 59 original members that established the credit union, and their whole focus was people helping people. They found that they wanted to do a better way of helping each other with their finances. It was neighbors, it was friends, it was families that got together and just said, there's got to be a better way. So they pooled their savings together, they made low-cost loans to each other, they paid each other back, and this system worked. And so that's the 85 years that we've built our legacy on, and that's what makes us different, is we hold true to that philosophy of people helping people. Every decision that we make, we consider, how is this going to impact the member? Is this good for them? And I love it. I love the products and services that we provide. I love the community impact that we provide. I love being just an integral part of every community where we do our business.
How much has it grown? How much have you watched it grow since you jumped on ship in the 90s?
Well, thanks for aging me, but yeah, I celebrated my 25th year.
Late 90s.
Late 90s. Thank you. I appreciate that qualifier. In the 25 years that I've been there, I've just seen this tremendous amount of growth. And I remember that we had probably 40-something branches, and now we're about 118 branches. We had 700-ish employees. Now we're at 3,300. And we've just expanded all along the Wasatch Front and into Nevada, Arizona, Idaho, New Mexico. And I've just seen this tremendous amount of growth. And it's because people gravitate towards good service, good products, good security, an organization that they can trust. And I love that. I love seeing that growth and having an impact on our employees and on the community and just the members and the lives. You know, when you say, Hans, that's my credit union or that's my branch. I love the ownership that our members have in America First.
And it is my credit union. America First Credit Union, you got the location in Saratoga Springs. That was my first location, but now you've opened up the city center there in Eagle Mountain. I hope that one's going well. I'm sure it is.
It is, yeah. It really is.
I'm sure that thing's rocking and rolling. And we got new openings that are coming, and they just continue to grow and do great things.
You're always about a 3-iron away from an America First Credit Union.
If you're a good golfer.
Yeah, 3-iron in a good stiff wind, because it is a little downhill.
Yeah.
So,
does it get windy out there in Eagle Mountain?
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. It's insane winds out in Eagle Mountain. I don't know if it ever gets not windy in Eagle Mountain. It's always windy.
Any tumbleweeds that go your way?
Oh, a few. You've seen them stack up.
Yeah. Well, again, America First Credit Union is where you need to go. I've got a car loan through them. Hans banks with them. It's just a first-class organization that's going to treat you right every step of the way. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome Hans Olsen back to the show. I know with you, you guys love your food. You love your food analogies. So we're having you on to talk spring football. Now, spring football is to football as blank is to a meal. What is spring football? Because it's not the real deal.
It's a total meal replacement shake. And it's a bad mix. It's like a protein powder you order. You think you're going to like it because it says cookie and cream on it. You mix it a couple times and you're like, this tastes like cardboard. This is trash. It gives you the calories that you need. It's hard going down. Eventually, you end up throwing the whole bottle out, but it's a meal replacement shake. I think that's the equivalent.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
That's right. Yeah.
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Caller number 12. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. Hey, it is our Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. It is Masters Week, folks. Yeah. All you have to do is be caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. You will be assigned a golfer. And if your golfer wins, you will win your player's brand of driver. So if he's hitting Callaway, you're going to win a Callaway driver. If he's, you know, whatever you're looking at, you're going to get it.
That is a really fun thing, too.
I love it. I love that we do this. Yeah. We've been doing it for, 10 years now, Lloyd.
Yeah, it feels like every year of the show we've been doing
it. It's the bane of Lloyd's existence from a, you know, putting it together. But, boy, it's a fun one to make it happen.
It's so much fun, man. I do love Masters Week. And, you know, we just get done talking about Caitlin Clark. And you look up on the TV and there's Tiger Woods on the practice green. And it's like, that's what it is. It's still, that's what it is. You know, people get all bent out of shape about who's getting the coverage and who's getting the attention. And it's like, no, we don't dictate that. Media doesn't dictate that. The people, the viewers dictate that. And Tiger Woods is still the spectacle.
Yeah.
I understand what Tiger Woods is doing right now more than I understand who the top five golfers in the world are and what they might do this weekend.
Yep.
I'm still watching for Tiger Woods to make the cut. He would set the record. He's currently tied with the record, but he would set the record for most consecutive cuts in Masters history. Like, those are the stupid things that I shouldn't know, but I do because it's Tiger freaking Woods. It's just ridiculous. And the Masters come around, and it's like the Masters and Tiger are just synonymous.
Yes.
And the fact that he's still in it, just love it.
I used to, in fact, I remember, it's funny how when you get in this business, you remember your milestones. Like, I remember the first game I ever called. I remember, the first show you and I did at that fence place.
Yep.
Like, I remember these little milestone moments. I remember the first, like, this is prior to Twitter, but the first hate email I got where somebody just obliterated me.
Really?
And said, that was the worst take I've ever heard, blah, 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 and just came at me hard. And I remember being like, whoa. It was the first time. I'd never really received negative listener feedback of that magnitude before, where it got really personal. Now, every day, it doesn't bother me.
That's not coming every day. Do you remember what it was over?
Yes. So it was, and when you're new, you try to make these big, nasty opinions.
Yeah.
Rah, 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 rah. And so I thought it was really silly when we would see these old-time golfers like Arnold Palmer and these other guys that would get out there and slow down that first, because they'd won Masters and they get to play as long as they want. And it was just a celebratory round. But I'm like, come on, you're slowing down the play. You got guys out there trying to win this thing, and your old bones are out there slowing everything down. And everybody's, oh, look at the old man with a 200-yard drive. How great is that? And it's like, what is this? What are we doing here? And so I went on and just blasted how dumb I thought this was, that these old geezers were out on the course and just ruining it for everybody. And some dude just killed me on an email on that, just blew me up. How dare you don't know anything about the sport? These guys can play as long as they want. And I'm like, that's stupid. Anyway, I will. When Tiger Woods is in his 70s, I will still watch. I don't care. I'll be in the old folks' home watching. Tiger Woods could be 85 years old, and I'll be 84 years old. And guess what? I'll still be glued to my TV set watching him every second he's out on any golf course, especially at Augusta.
Why is it?
I don't know, man. Okay. I don't know.
So I feel the same way about Mike Tyson stepping in the ring with the Paul kid.
I know.
I know what's going to happen in that fight. I know it. Like, I could write the script on it. He's going to gas out. He'll gas out, and he's going to take some punishment. He might deliver a shot or two. He's going to he's going to gas out. Now, it comes down to if Paul's got the knockout power, he'll put him down. If not, it'll go whatever it is scheduled for, eight rounds or whatever it's scheduled for.
It will be.
It'll be miserable.
It'll be scripted in such a way that neither one will lose.
And Mike will push him into the corner, and then he'll get his win through whatever, you know, self-respect and, you know, whatever win that he can find out of, oh, man, in the second I caught you with that right hook, I almost had you.
Yeah.
And then Paul will get the victory, probably a little bit of a payoff to Mike Tyson, whatever it is. You know what's going to happen, but still I'm going to watch Mike.
Yeah. He's muscle.
And how stupid is that for me?
I know. Dude's what? Almost 60. And we're all like,
ooh. He'll be 58 when he fights.
Yeah.
I think it's 58. I think it's 57, but I think it's 58 when this fight actually goes down. And Tiger Woods is 48. I mean, he's 48 years old. And here we are. We're like, well, the Tiger Woods at the Masters. Could it be a 2019 miracle remake? Because when he won in 2019, I was shocked, floored. I still hold it up as one of the top five athletic performances that I've ever watched in my life.
Hey, look, Phil's got himself a Masters at plus 50, right? Was it the Masters that he won, or?
No, I think it was the Open.
Was it the Open? Oh, was it the Open? Okay.
I think it was the Open.
But he did it plus 50.
But did Jack win one? Lloyd, did Jack get a Masters close to 50? Like, I know Phil won. It's pretty sure it was the Open. I don't think it was the Masters. But still, the guy knows his way around that course better than anybody. Watching him navigate that course, he knows every nook and every cranny of that course. By the way, it hasn't been.
Yeah, it was the PGA Championship in 21, the Phil one.
Okay.
And he did it at 51 years old.
That's huge. And that's incredible. 51.
Yeah.
And he won one of the top primary events in all of golfing. I am excited about the Masters. For some reason, I don't know, maybe I'm not playing it as much. I don't even play an eighth of the golf that I used to.
Why do you think that is?
Well, this is my personal opinion. I feel like COVID screwed everything up. Now, I think COVID made everything better for the golf world.
Yeah.
It just made everything worse for me.
Because more people are playing.
Yeah, it's, the courses are jam-packed. They're hacked up. The tee sheets are just solid, and it just hasn't been as fun for me. And I got to this point where, you know, I'm hitting like an 83, 84 pretty consistently, and that was it. It's like, okay, well, what's my goals?
You always have – you had the 279s, right?
I did, yeah. Yeah. And those were like 6, 7, 8 years ago. I think I had one when we were doing the show and one just before. And other than that, it's like, that's it. So I don't know. How much time do you spend on a sport that you're not getting any better at? And you're going out there with – I went out on a country club here in the state. And the guy that took me to this country club, he brought like his 12 or 13-year-old son. And the 12 or 13-year-old diced me up, and I was like, you know.
What do we do?
He's out driving me, and I'm like, you know. And they're like, oh, pretty. That's pretty bad for an old NFL guy, huh? 12-year-old's out driving you, and you're just like.
All right, we're done here.
You know?
Yeah.
Y'all suck. So does the sport. I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to find that love and passion for it again, because when you're out there and you're on the fairways and you're on the cart and you're taking in the scenes and you hit one lucky shot in a round and you're like, oh, see, I could do it like Tiger Woods does.
Tell you what, there are very few things, and you know that, like this summer, like I'm recommitting myself to golf.
Yeah.
Like I haven't, you know, I fell away quite a bit over the last several years. This summer, it's like, okay, you know what?
Get into it.
I'm gonna get back into it. I'm recommitting to the game. In fact, I told you off the air some of the things I'm actually even doing to make sure that I play a little bit more golf.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that'll be fun.
Yeah. But there are very few things cooler than that 7:15 tea time, and the course is kind of quiet, and you have that morning sun coming up, and it's a little dewy. Like that's awesome.
It is.
It's awesome. And that's but to me, the Augusta, it's more than just. This is why I look. I'm not big like Sunday afternoon, waste management, fire up golf with nobody that I know that's playing. I'm not really that guy. But Augusta, I don't need Tiger to be playing well to watch it. It's just because Augusta and the Masters is a personality of itself. You know, Amen Corner, everything that comes along with it. That is, we talk about Tiger Woods and Caitlin Clark and all these personalities that are storyline. To me, that golf course is the personality. And how beautiful it is, and how well manicured it is, and how it's set up.
It's the show.
It's the show.
It's the Caitlin Clark.
Yes. It's the Tiger Woods.
Yeah, it's the Mike Tyson. You're 1,000% right. It's that course.
Yeah.
1,000%. But it does, when it's got a great contender, a guy that's beating its butt.
Yeah.
That's the draw.
Yep.
It's like, okay, I've got this. I've got the number one. I've got the ultimate. Now who can give it a match? And Tiger Woods has given it multiple matches. I just looked it up. Jack Nicklaus, he's the oldest to ever win the Masters. And he's just younger than what Tiger is right now. 46 years, 2 months, and 24 days. Tiger's the second oldest in his win in 2019 when he was 43. 43, 3 months, and 15 days. The second oldest to do it at the Masters. So if Tiger could even find a way to compete, we'd all be locked in. But the problem is Tiger has not really been able to find a way to compete since the car accident.
Yeah.
You know, that car accident really jacked him up.
Well, I mean, and then Elon with the nine iron
was the first hammer to drop that I think really threw him off his ability to catch Jack Nicklaus and his major success. But this car accident, so it left him with terrible arthritis in his ankle, in his foot. He just recently had a surgery to try to alleviate some of that pain that he's dealing with in that ankle and that foot, but he has not really been able to compete. His last top 20 finish on the tour was a tie for ninth back in 2020. That's his last top 20 finish, was at the Farmer Insurance event in 2020. He has finished outside the top 20 in 14 consecutive tour starts.
Yeah.
And really, since the accident, he's not really finishing. Even when he made the cut in this last Masters, I don't think he finished that round. If I remember right, did he? I know he made the cut. Lloyd, did he finish the round last year? Tiger at the Masters. I know he made the.
No, I made. I think he made the cut, and I think he shut it down after that. I think you're right. Yeah.
So he's not even really able to complete the events. But
don't care.
It'd be something to see him make the cut this year.
Make the cut. I'll be watching. 12:48. Hans and Scotty. Jazz with another loss. We'll talk about it next. What you may have missed right ahead. Hans and Scotty. And then Ken Pomeroy will join us at 1:05. We'll break down the national championship game, a game you will hear right here on The Zone coming up tonight, as we've had your exclusive home of the NCAA tournament right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
You think there would be any difficulty adding two more professional sports teams here locally?
Yes.
And getting the support?
Yes. Difficulty? Sure. Absolutely.
Do you think it'd be impossible?
No.
You think we could bring in two major franchises and have them both survive?
If the leagues individually choose Salt Lake City, it's because they're betting on our future, not the present. I think we'd sell tickets to these things right away. I think sponsorships, I mean, I'm not saying sponsorships for the Jazz are a tough sell or that they're struggling or by any means. They're hustling to find every nickel that's not nailed down. It's not like this market is just swimming in dough. But we've got some expanding economic sectors. Population is expanding here. Our education around here is pretty good. Our teachers are really good. Our universities are really good. And this is a great place to live. And so if we got two new major league franchises right out of the gate, it'd be probably tough sledding for a few years. But I mean, the idea is that they're betting on the future.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Maybe keep that one to yourself. Hands on Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports.
We were just talking about the eclipse.
Yes.
And the time that we've spent in interest of it. I'm seeing the videos come from Chile. I guess we just had our greatest eclipse moment at like 12:30 something today. So I hope everybody has enjoyed their – it seems like it's becoming like a monthly thing.
By the way, the way you say Chile, let's – do use that on the sopapilla. The way you say Chile.
Chile?
Yes,
Chile.
Sopapilla.
The images are pretty cool. It, you know, so what happens is the moon goes right in front of the sun. And that's your eclipse. I'd say the next big event.
Was it a total eclipse of the heart?
Yeah, Lloyd, you've missed an opportunity today.
Yeah, Hans Nye, the science guy over here.
The next, like, big event that I'm waiting for is Halley's Comet. I remember
Halley's Comet coming around. I remember in the, like, when we were in elementary school in the 80s, that was a big deal.
So we'll be in our 70s.
Never mind that.
You and I will be in our
70s. I'm looking forward to that.
So we got some time. But, yeah, we were elementary school, and the thing I remember, and I remember very well, we went out, we were on the West First home in Weezer, and Dad took us out onto the side yard because my dad was really excited about it. And I don't know how you remember it, but it was way underwhelming.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually got a telescope for Christmas.
Did you really?
That was specially like...
To watch Halley's Comet.
And so I had my little gadget set up, and I was like, all right, you know, this is me. So, and I'm looking like, it's a dot. Like, what is this?
Well, apparently, like when it came in whatever it was, like the 20s, there was all these journal entries of it lit the sky up as bright as day. So when people were expecting it to come through in the 80s, they're like, oh man, this thing is gonna, it's gonna blow up the sky. Like, this is gonna be the most incredible event. And it was like, is that a satellite or is not? Nah, I think that's Halley's. So I'm hoping that Halley's Comet has regenerated some power as it moves through our sky in our 70s. But as far as the eclipses, I don't even care enough to try to move out of my chair for
that. Boring.
I know there's people out there that love it because we just had an eclipse. What was that? Like,
that was like 2 years ago, right?
It was like a couple
years
ago. And
everybody lost their mind over.
Weezer, Idaho happened to be right in the primary path. And my parents were like renting out parts of their land. And people were coming in with their RVs. Weezer went to like 68,000 people for the eclipse event.
The hell?
I'm not even kidding you, because it was right in the path. So
we went up to our cabin like when it was going on. Like, we went up there and watched it from, and there was people
honk,
all over the place.
Honk.
Yeah, honk
yourself. I was at my cabin.
Our cabin.
You've got to start honking yourself, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Because you do mention that cabin a lot.
I get one stationary bike, and I don't hear the end of it, but Lloyd's over there with his back 40 estate with his cabin.
You flaunt, you put your stationary bike, and let's not call it a stationary bike. Say what it is.
It's a stationary bike.
It's a Peloton.
Wait, so are you going to your New York penthouse for this one?
Yeah, Lloyd, where are you going? Nope. What other land or real estate do you have?
I'm working. I'm here working.
So I watched the eclipse from my New York penthouse in the Trump Tower.
72nd floor with a beautiful view of Central Park.
Dave Nellis with America First Credit Union. He's hanging out with this. What is this a picture of?
That's a picture of my work group up at America First. We somehow, this was back in 2017. So
Was it really that long ago? Wow.
Well, that was when we had the big one.
Yeah,
There's just a text group going on where we're just kind of reminiscing and how fun that was. But what I remember was, one, how goofy we all looked with our heads to the, you know, the skies with our glasses on.
Yeah.
But two, the temperature change. It dropped and it got chilly. I was really surprised at how cold it got.
It really did.
It did, yeah.
Why do I not remember that event? So how...
August of 2017.
How much of the sun was covered here in Utah? Because it wasn't a full eclipse, was it?
It wasn't full, but it was...
It was pretty close?
It was, yeah.
Did you go out?
He's right. You felt the temperature drop.
Really?
Like, yeah. It plummeted.
Well, yeah. That's because you were at 8,000 feet in your cabin.
Did you... It's because you were standing in the river that runs right behind your cabin.
True.
Did you go see any of it today at the 12:30 mark when it was supposed to be big out here?
No, my sister though, she sent me a picture. She's in Texas, and she sent me a picture, and it's like
that's right in the path.
It's right in the path. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. We were just talking about Lloyd's cabins and his penthouse. You need a good mortgage, and you need a good interest rate on those.
Yeah. I need a good friend too, like Lloyd.
I know. We all need that. Where are we right now with interest rates and purchasing?
It's a tricky market for sure. You know, the feds have increased rates and, you know, they do that because they want to, you know, kind of put a squash on inflation. And so rates have been high. And we went on about two decades where rates were really low. And that was a great time to buy. And so as we've seen these rates climb and climb and climb, it gets a little bit tricky. And that has an impact on inventory. So we're hoping to see the feds bring those rates back down a little bit, making it easier for consumers to get into a home.
But we do have some inventory available. So you could get into a home now. You could find a house that maybe fits you better, you and your family better.
Yep. And we've got a promotion on right now. The promotion is titled Buy Now, Refinance Later. Mm-hmm. And that's to encourage people to don't wait, don't delay. If you find that house that you want, then go for it. I like to say...
it's a great line.
Buy the or marry the house, but date the rate.
Yeah.
Date the rate because rates will change. And so if you find that house, you got your hands on that inventory, buy it.
And you make it easy on people. Like, okay, when you want to refinance, we're going to be here for you, and we'll get this squared away real quickly.
Yeah. Now through August, if you go and get your first mortgage and then rates go down and you want to refinance that, then we will waive the application fees, the closing costs for that. Mm-hmm. Up through August, and so it's got to be funded. But we want to make sure that we're helping you get into your home right now. And so buy now, but refinance later.
We're going to talk about what those rates do to CDs and investment options maybe a little bit later, because when those rates are high, some of the investment options or the saving options are even better.
Oh, yeah. Interest can either work against you or it can work for you. And so we love to be able to investigate and see how those things impact us.
Hans and Scotty, that's America First Credit Union, always there to help you out with whatever you may need. America First Credit Union, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.